Media Sports Show for our continuing coverage of the 2015-2016 Rowlett Eagles varsity football team as they make their way into the third round of the Texas State playoffs here. We are on the pregame show. The pregame show being brought to you by Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty for all your realty needs, whether you're buying or selling your home, or if you just have questions. You need some help. You need some advice. Give Veronica Warwick a call, 469-939-9624, and let her help you with your house sale or your house purchase. One of the two.
All right, everybody. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. We're all psyched and ready to go as your Rowlett Eagles make history. Okay. If they get the victory. Now, they've been to this round before. This is the third round. Last time this happened was back in 2012. The Rowlett Eagles didn't get the victory back then. But if the Eagles get the victory, they go ahead and they are going to make history for this school in its short time here. However, this is the game. I mean, the Rowlett Eagles take the trip down to Waco and Baylor. I'm leaving early in the morning. I'm going to get there early. I want to tailgate. I hope everybody's there early for tailgating. I need me some of that jambalaya. As long as it don't have the shrimp in it, I need me some. And I will tell you, the boosters, man, they know how to do it. You don't have to be a booster member. Come and enjoy the Rowlett Eagles on a tailgate party and have some fun. And that's what they do, and they do it well, and they're going to do it again, I hope. So we're going to make sure you get to the Rowlett Eagles Booster Club over on Facebook. Put in Rowlett Eagles Booster Club. Zach Watts will get you approved. You can be up to date with everything that the booster clubs are going to do, whether they have their regular meetings, whether they're going to have a pregame, whether they're going to have the tailgate. And you can be involved with your Rowlett Eagles by hitting up the booster club and being a part of it. And they are a lot of fun. They do all kinds of things, and it's all about the kids, folks. And that's one of the exciting things about the booster clubs. They raise the money to help the kids and get what they need in order to put on a season like this. So the Rowlett Eagles Booster Club, a big part of what you see out on the football field each and every week. And it's all from parents, it's all from businesses, it's all from friends of the Rowlett Eagles. So be ready for it. It's going to be fun as the Rowlett Eagles move into this third round. Now, your Rowlett Eagles in the second round, they get that big victory against a football team. Let's be honest, folks. Everybody picked the Skyline Raiders to end up getting this victory. Except one, if you go by those so-called experts over at the Dallas Morning News, man, sometimes it's hard to read some of that stuff. And no respect shown except by one. But also remember the fact that the Skyline defense has four guys going heading up to Division I football. So they had that situation where they had an opportunity to really play stout defensively. And they did play stout, but it wasn't enough as your Rowlett Eagles. They got that victory 24-21 in an exciting fashion as well. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that was the best game that I have seen this Rowlett Eagles team play. In the 3 years that we've been doing Rowlett Eagles football, this was the most exciting game. Whether it be a turnover at a vital part of the time, and we'll talk about the interception and the turnover, whether making plays, giving up the big play, all of it. This year and this past game was the most exciting game of the year for the Rowlett Eagles, in my personal opinion. And I'm going to put it out there as well. I'm going to give the most valuable player to a guy that made a big mistake, but he made up for it immediately. He didn't wait for later moves or a later opportunity. He throws the interception. And I'm talking about Dylan Watts. Throws the interception and then gets downfield, prevents prevents the Raiders from getting the pick six and going into the end zone and quite possibly winning that football team, knocking out the Rowlett Eagles out of the playoffs. Instead, he gets down there, hustle play, gives the defense the opportunity to make the play. And let's be honest, when you look at the Rowlett Eagles, they have been doing that all year long. When a big play had to come in, they made it. Whether it was at the exact moment or whether it was later on down the road, when the big plays needed to be made, they made them. And we've seen a lot of games end on big plays. Making the big play or helping them take that step and move forward into the game and putting the other team away, you know, pulling out the nails so they can put into the coffin of the opponents. And they have done that all year long. Making the plays when it was most important was the most huge thing. 24-21 in an exciting game. Now, the Rowlett Eagles, they are heading down to Baylor. They are taking on the humble team. The humble, and we having a hard time pronouncing the name, so we're going to call them humble. And they're the Eagles as well. They kind of got the same logo, but with a different background, but kind of, you know, the same logo, but who cares? This is the playoffs. It don't matter if we run into all Eagles the rest of the way in through the end. We don't care. We just want to see victories come for Rowlett. And the big-time victory happened in crazy style. And when you see games like that, it's so huge. So talk about this game. The Rowlett Eagles scored 17 points in the second quarter and really took over the game. Because in that fourth quarter, no one got into the end zone. No one put one through the uprights. So it was a game of three quarters, and the Rowlett Eagles won that game of three quarters as the Skyline Raiders scored a touchdown in each one of the first three quarters. However, your Rowlett Eagles, they got blanked in that first quarter, but they came roaring back in the second quarter with 17 points there and then 7 points in the third quarter. Coming down with the big block to stop the Skyline Raiders from tying the game, or Dylan Watts making the tackle to prevent the pick six, where a possibility the Rowlett Eagles could be out of the playoffs. But let's talk a little bit about the stats. Both of these teams, first downs, 15 first downs. And the difference here is total yards. So you look at Skyline, they had 416 total yards. Your Rowlett Eagles had 320, but it was that balance attack that you see from the Rowlett Eagles with 197 yards passing and rushing 127. That's a well-balanced offense. You looked on the other side, you've seen most of the yards that they picked up of 416 yards, 344 of them were rushing the ball. Two big plays. You take that completely out. You take about 140 yards off of the board. They really only rushed for 200. But the fact that that football team only threw for 72 yards passing, 9 of 17, really hurt this football team. They didn't get in the end zone. No one was afraid of the pass. So the Rowlett Eagles were able to really try to concentrate on the run. Like I said, you take away those big plays that Ward had, the Rowlett Eagles pretty much stuffed them down. But that's one thing. You cannot give up those big plays. Your Rowlett Eagles rushing the ball 127 yards. Five penalties for both teams. Remember, three penalties were personal fouls at 15 yards a pop. So 45 yards of three of those penalties. They really only had 8 yards on two penalties. Plus, I thought they were a little flag happy as well. But that having been said, that's just my opinion. One turnover for each one of those football teams that happened. So looking at it, Teron Randolph, he was 8 of 14 for 68 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. That was the huge number. And for Logan Bonner, 14 to 27, 197 yards and a touchdown pass. And Dylan Watts 0 for 1 in that interception. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You'll hear the highlights here in our next segment about that as far as that game is concerned. Rushing the football, it was, all about that ground game that they put together as DeLon Ward. He rushed the ball 30 times for 291 yards and 3 touchdowns. Those 3 touchdowns being the 21 points that they got. They depended on the run to get them, and they got 3 of them. But they did not make that kind of effort in the air because they couldn't get in the end zone in the air, as only 3 receptions, 26 yards for Webb. Lodre, 2 catches, 23 yards. Washington, 2 catches, 13 yards. And then Ladarrell Randolph, 2 catches, 10 yards. But looking at for the Rowlett Eagles, Monte Lang, 5 rushes, 79 yards. Now, folks, remember, he ripped on up for 80, and he ended up with 79. That tells you what happened on the other 4. But that big one was the big one, a 80-yard scamper for the touchdown. Kobe Morrow, 9 rushes, 37 yards, no touchdowns. He was taken out of the game pretty much for precautions. What we're hearing, that he's going to be ready to rock and roll in this game and 100% ready to go. Ladarius Dickens, 7 rushes, 28 yards and a touchdown as well. Carter, 1 rush for 5 yards for the Rowlett Eagles. So Logan Bonner, minus 16, that they gave him running plays instead of giving sacks out there. Receiving the ball, Ladarius Dickens, 6 catches, 122 yards, no touchdowns. Quentin Stenton with the only touchdown through the air. 2 catches, 17 yards in that touchdown. So Dylan Watts, 1 catch, 29 yards. 4 catches, 22 yards for Kobe Morrow out of the backfield before he went out of the game as well. So covering that game, that is pretty much what you looked at. They go ahead, they get the win. They went into this playoffs really huge, okay? They got Namon Forest, and they had a game 52-7. They got that victory, but it was really the last game, I think, that turned this team to get ready for the playoffs, because when you look at going into the playoffs, you got to make plays, and they made plays. We were talking about that. And so they made plays against Sachse, got the victory 44-34, and then Belton really, really put the Rowlett Eagles to a test. 1-point victory. Your Rowlett Eagles scored 65 points, and they needed every single one of them to get the victory, as Belton scored a total of 64 points. 129 points scored in that game. And then you had this last game here with Skyline. 24-21. And so they get humble, and the Eagles on Saturday at Baylor University. It's going to be a cool game. It's going to be cool outside. It could be weather. And so you got to watch out. Now, remember, folks that are listening to this, and if you plan on going down there, that is fine. But remember, bring a parka. The Baylor University does not allow umbrellas there. So remember that when you go there, because they may confiscate them away from you as you're coming in. Now, there is some areas where you can sit under the second layer there, but a lot of people, you're going to see them down low depending on the weather. So, by the way, the mayor of our fine city is not going to be able to make it for this game. I contacted him. He was going to, but his son decided to stay the weekend, and he don't have an opportunity to see his son all the time, so he's going to stay there. Plus, all of the weather issues and the flooding that is going on, he's got a lot of work that he's got to do. It's going to be a working weekend as well as trying to spend time with his family. So, a very busy time for our mayor. Our mayor, I contacted him. He said he isn't going to make it, but he wishes the Rowlett Eagles luck as they move forward into the playoffs, and hopefully he can make the next one if the Eagles are victorious against Humble. So I just want to keep you up to date on that. Again, don't forget about the Rowlett Eagles Booster Club. You can be a part of this and help this team for all their needs, whether it's food, whether it's just support and the financial help, everything that goes all to the kids, helping with the fundraising and everything to make sure that the Rowlett Eagles need what they need to take the field each and every week. So that having been said, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We're going to hear from our main sponsor. Of course, that's Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty. Make sure for all your realty needs, buying or selling your home, or you're just in the market or need some advice, give her a call at 469-939-9624. But when we come back here after our break, we're going to hear the highlights from this game. I did an extended version of the highlights. It's about 12 to 13 minutes, so hang out, listen to some of the plays that happened in that game, and then we'll also jump back in, talk a little bit more about what we've seen in the game and the excitement that is happening in Rowlett about the Rowlett Eagles squad. As well, we'll end it out like we always do with the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna. So we're going to take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Rowlett Eagles Radio Network. We'll be right back. There is so much riding on your home sale. Just one mistake can cost you a lot of time and money. Put your trust in Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty so she can ensure you get the most out of your home sale. From pricing your home correctly to putting together a sound deal, Veronica Warwick will look out for your needs. Give her a call at 469-939-9624. Veronica Warwick, a Keller Williams agent, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
Bringing safe professional education and experience to all levels of shooters. SafeShootTexas.com has it all. Whether it's NRA certified classes, Texas CHL licensing, group and private certification, or even in-home classes. Or how about ladies only classes? Check out SafeShootTexas.com for more information and the schedule that fits your need. Check them out at SafeShootTexas.com.
Make sure you check out ACG Medical Supply on the corner of Rowlett Road and the 66. Proud sponsors of the Rowlett Boys basketball team and a long-standing member of the Rowlett community in the same location for almost 13 years. Whether it's selling quality products or filling out your insurance claims for you, you get it all from ACG Medical. From our large showroom to our certified technicians to our convenient delivery service, visit our showroom or shop by phone 972-463-0737 or online at acgmedical.net.
Bonanza. Reap a bonanza with a free home, auto, or business insurance quote from Costco Insurance. Bundle your home and auto insurance to save a ton. Costco Insurance at the corner of Main Street and Rowlett Road, or visit us on the web at costcoinsurance.com, where we always have the coffee pot on.
Yeah, but is it fresh?
Harlow Tree Surgery offers more than just tree trimming and tree removal. They also offer landscaping services, planting, stump grinding, as well as fertilization and tree health. So if your tree was hit by lightning like mine, or you just need regular tree maintenance, call today and book your free estimate at 214-695-6500. That's 214-695-6500, and let them know you heard it here on the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
Are you having trouble understanding Social Security planning? There are a lot of questions that have to be answered, like when does it make most sense for you and your spouse to start receiving Social Security? What is the impact of your Social Security benefits if you work during retirement? How much of your Social Security will be taxed each year? Let Nest Egg Wealth Advisors provide you with that direction to these decisions. Call our offices today at 972-412-6064 or visit us on the web at nesteggadvice.com for your complimentary guide to Social Security.
Welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame show of your Rowlett Eagles as they are in the third round of the playoffs. Let's give a listen to what happened last week as your Rowlett Eagles got the victory against the Skyline Raiders. Here are the highlights.
Third down, about three or four. Randolph goes ahead, gives it to Ward right up the middle. Touchdown, Raiders. So the Raiders up on the board first here in this first quarter with a minute and 28 seconds left to go here in the first quarter. So it brings up second down and 10 for Logan Bonner and company. He gets the snap. He's going to get tomorrow. He bounces it right his side, broken to the 40, and he's going to push down to the 35-yard line. Gain of about 14 on that one. And again, Brandon Johnson on the stop as the Eagles quick to the line here on first. All right, third down and about 14 for your Rowlett Eagles. The ball is at the Raiders' 26-yard line. And with the wind, we could kick a field goal if we don't get the first down. That would be the decision if they don't get the first down. Four wide receiver set, too far, too near for your Rowlett Eagles. And back to pass is Logan Bonner. Here comes the rush. He's going to get sacked back at the, looks like, 32-yard line. Might have even taken him out of field goal range as Joseph Wallace, defensive line, 6'1", 300. They're going to go ahead and bring in their kicking unit, and it's going to be Kentworthy.
They're going to try for a field goal. They're going to try for a 49-yard field goal here.
This is with the wind behind him. It's not the worst idea. So he might have been able to get about a 40. Let's see if an extra wind gives him yards as the play clock's down to two. Snap down. He missed it. Oh, no. Line drive. It's gone. Wow. It looked like he just missed that one. I don't think he hit it right. That's for sure. But a line drive in, and the Rowlett Eagles get three on the board there, Phil.
You know what? He didn't get any air on that. That ball got
nowhere.
15 feet high. It just line drive all the way through. But with that being said, he would have probably made it from about 54 because he cleared that bar easily, and he was still going on the last drive.
So a breakout on the first down for the Raiders. And oh, Ward broke it. Forget about it. He was at the 40, and no one's even near. Over on the right-hand side, there was such a huge hole, and Gordon tried to chase him down from the back. Folks, I didn't give you much on that because there was just some good blocking coming from Skyline on that far side of the football field, near side. Here for your Eagles, Logan Bonner gets the snap, looking, gets to the screen. Tomorrow getting some good blocking out in front, but they close it up quick. They get down to about the 49-yard line, maybe a gain of two. And on the stop there was number 99, Joseph Wallace, that 6'1", 310-pound dude. He is huge, and someone's down. I think that's Morrow, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, that is Morrow, and you're talking about number 99 at Levine. He came from behind as number four.
Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson was making that
he
tackle.
He was shook up, too.
Yeah, number nine, I'm sorry, Joseph Wallace came up behind him and tackled them both, and both were shaken up.
Yep. So the Eagles have four wide receivers, or three wide receivers, two far, one near, two running backs in the backfield. As Dickens is right there along with the new one. Ball snap, they give it to Dickens. He's going to follow Brockers. Touchdown! Rowlett Eagles, as the Eagles get in for the touchdown. Darius Dickens just following the blockers, and that one almost was too easy. And you know what? It would have looked even easier if they were able to get the quick snack that they wanted to get there, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they went. He went untouched into the end zone. As that's the first time going up the middle that they've been able to do that.
Back to kick. The Raiders at their own 2-yard line. Dickens is at the Raiders 43-yard line to get this one because he's expecting the wind to hold it up. So it will be real interesting to see what happens because they've only kicked the ball once, as Bill made point here in the break. So they got the big guy out there, Contreras, gets a high snap, and he's not going to get anything. He hit the ground, and the Eagles are going to get it at the 12-yard line. He missed his foot, and I hate to say this because as a kicker, I have done that right there and just gave the Eagles a pretty field position at the 11-yard line of the Raiders.
Well, and then this is kind of a lead-in to the new Snoopy movie coming out where he misses the football every time. So that's exactly what happened. Not Snoopy, but
Charlie Brown. Yeah.
But that's exactly what happened there. He took it off of his foot, and it rolled. And one of his up linemen actually is the one that first touched the ball.
Popped on it. He had to jump on it. And here's the thing. Rowlett Eagles now. Second down and 10 at the 11-yard line of the Raiders. Raiders are all up in the, and they're playing man on the side. That they should be salivating. Here they go. Quick pass. Touchdown! Rowlett Eagles. Just as I said it, Bill, if you're going to play man-to-man with this Rowlett football team, you're going to get burned. You got to be back. You're going to have some defenders back. And I don't even think that would have helped, but at least he might have been able to break it down in about, let's see, about seven of them there. So they go ahead and give it off to Ward again to the right-hand side. Looking to bust it. He does. Watch out. Now the speed of the Eagles defense is going to have to bring him out. Dylan Bauer puts a hand on him. He loses it. He's down to the 20-yard line. And finally getting him out of bounds was number 50 for your Rowlett Eagles. That was Caleb Sanzero. 43 seconds left to go. That's exactly what needed to happen because they weren't going to put the ball up in the air. First down and 10, ball on the 15-yard line of the Eagles. I agree with you, Bill. They need to back and they do that play again. Ward's going to lose it. Now he laterals it. The Eagles recovered the ball after the big-time play. This thing was broken. Dylan Bauer had that same play. He was in the backfield and had both of them wrapped up again.
Yeah.
This time he only had Randolph, but Ward was behind him. He couldn't get his arms around him. Then he had a little help from his friends. Then they tried to lateral it, and the Eagles are going to pick it up on the turnover.
One wide receiver near too far. They give it off to about back in the backfield. Who was it?
Dylan Bauer. That same play where he's just... He figured something out on the snap count where he knows he can get in that backfield.
Absolutely, and this is about the fifth or sixth time he's done it and getting the backfield like that. And if it ain't broken, don't fix it. You keep doing that. It looks like it's going to hold.
Are the Raiders going to put it down at the 15-yard line, 25-yard field goal? He missed it to the right, Bill. Yep, missed it to the right-hand side, though. The Eagles dodged the bullet as I saw it go right immediately. In fact, when the third down and 10 for the Raiders, three wide receivers near side, one far, as well Randolph looking to get the snap back in the backfield. He's like, so you look at the pass, puts the ball up in the air. Ball caught by his brother at the 35-yard line. Uh-oh. Jones is down. They're going to call it incomplete. They say it hit the ground, but Craven Jones, he has been down for the last... He's got a knee, and that is not good. And I don't even think anybody realized that he is down on the football field. None of the medical staff for the Eagles will see if Kobe Morrow figure it out. Here comes third down 10 for your Eagles. They go ahead, play action. Logan Bonner, across the middle, caught by Dickens at the 35, and he's going to be brought down by the 37-yard line. And Logan Bonner took a pop there, so much so that number 90 Joseph Wallace, who hit him, he felt that one too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that pass was a great pass, but Jalen Spencer on the defense actually tipped that ball a little bit as it got to Dickens. So it was great concentration on Dickens to be able to bring that ball.
So let's see what happens here. Four wide receiver set for the Raiders. They go ahead and give it to Woods. Woods breaking up the middle. He's going to break it. He's going to go all the way. Doopie's going to have to try to get up there to catch him. Here comes up on the far side. He's at the 30. Now the 20. 10. Touchdown Raiders. And that was another play. A big time play defensively given up as the Eagles could not catch up to Woods as he found the hole on the right hand side. And he just made it down. Back is Dickens. And remember, Dickens can break it at any time as they go ahead, get a boot into it. It's going to go over Dickens' head. It's going to bounce at the 5-yard line. And it's going to go down to the... Wow, that was a great play on the ball as the ball just kind of hung as it started to roll. Then it bounced up in the air before going into the end zone. They kicked it back in. At the 2-yard line, so the Rowlett Eagles got some work to do, Bill.
They do, and I was surprised that Skyline went ahead and kicked that, but now I see why they did it. They're going to do a field position game right now, and 10 minutes left here in the fourth quarter. Their goal is that they know they're going to get that ball back. They want to get that ball back.
Four wide receivers set, too far, too near. Logan Bonner in the backfield. They go ahead, play action, pass over the middle. Caught at the 20-yard line and dragging down. Dylan Watts, I think, is who caught that. Yep, Dylan Watts down to the 32-yard line. A 30-yard pass play by Logan Bonner before he's brought down there by Andrews. Andrews is a 6'1", 170 senior. The missed field goal. The Eagles were able to get it into the end zone. This is the reason why they're sitting with a 17-14 lead with 5 minutes, 59 seconds left to go. The ball's on their own 20-yard line as Logan Bonner gets the snap. He's going to give it to Morrow on the delay. He broke it. He's going to go all the way. Hold on. Chris Berman, he could go all the way. Touchdown! Rowlett Eagles, 80-yard scamper coming from Kobe Morrow, and the Eagles get it big time. Go ahead.
Actually, that wasn't Kobe Morrow. That was Monte Lang.
Monte Lang, the sophomore.
The sophomore with his first varsity carry for 80 yards in the playoffs to take a 10-point.
Wow. Very well. Thank you very much for the correction. About 7 for your Rowlett Eagles. Three wide receivers on the far side, one near for those in the stands. Ladarius Dickens, the only one in the backfield.
is out.
It's
look
like
at
a
this. Logan Bonner down here on the our near side, far side, Logan Bonner in a passing situation. As they go ahead, they keep it. Ladarius Dickens breaks it in the middle to the 40. Now getting around to the 35 and breaking another tackle to the 30-yard line before he's brought down. And guess who was out there on the block? Logan Bonner. How about that? Before he's brought down there by Cameron Rowe. So let's see what happens. Four wide receivers set by your Rowlett Eagles. Too far, too near. Dickens in the backfield. Logan Bonner, man in motion. Give it to Dylan Watts, who can throw the football. Logan Bonner wide open, and he threw an interception. Ball caught at the 20. He's going to go to the 40. Now to the 30. Dylan Watts going to get him out of bounds at the 32-yard line. It was a nice thought, as it was an interesting situation. I saw it all the way. As soon as Dylan Watts had the ball, I knew he could throw the ball because he threw the touchdown off the double reverse last year. Logan Bonner wasn't as open as Dylan Watts thought he might have been.
No, and that's a tough play to be going on a good defense like this. And luckily, Watts was able to come down and catch him before he got in the end zone, or they would have been up by three or four. And us trying to drive.
It's a 35-yard field goal attempt that's going to be taken on by Contreras. So here we go. Tie game on the line. They miss it. The Eagles win. If he makes it, well, probably going to overtime. Ball snap. Ball blocked by the Rowlett Eagles. And the Eagles are going to win this game. As getting in on the block was number 45. How about Jalen Penn making the play of the game? And the Eagles are going to sneak out of Memorial Stadium with a victory as they will go into championship formation, as they're going to escape here, as they almost let this one go here in the fourth quarter.
And there was your extended highlights of your Rowlett Eagles getting the victory over the Skyline Raiders 24-21 in exciting fashion. So what we're going to do now is take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Hear from our main sponsors, Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty. We'll be back here on the Couch Potato Sports Show in your Rowlett Eagles radio network.
Your home is so much more than square footage and a floor plan. It is the perfect place to watch movies with family or play in the backyard. So why entrust finding or selling your home to just anyone? You need someone who will be with you every step of the way. Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty is that person. Contact her at 469-939-9624. Veronica Warwick, a Keller Williams agent. Proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
Being taken for a ride? Check out Costlow Insurance, serving Texans since 1981. Bundle your home, auto, or business insurance to save a ton. Costlow Insurance on the corner of Main Street and Rowlett Road, where we make insurance fun. Or check us out on the web at costlowinsurance.com, where we always have the coffee pot on.
Yeah, but is it fresh?
Unpleasant surprises can be annoying, but sometimes they can be devastating. If your retirement plan is vulnerable to unpleasant surprises, you do have a choice. There are strategies that can help ensure any surprise is a welcome one and reduce the threats to your retirement. Nest Egg Wealth Advisors specialize in helping protect your portfolio from unpleasant surprises. Visit nesteggadvice.com or give them a call at 972-412-6064 to request a guide to your nice, predictable retirement.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Rowlett Eagles, bringing you strategies for success in high school, brought to you by Great Power Learning. Study more efficiency, higher exam scores. Advantage students learn that the best kind of studying starts in the classroom and ends with a light review before the test. Put it into cramming. Discover the secrets for acing exams. Check us out at greatpowerlearning.com or give us a call at 972-675-9505 for more information. That's Great Power Learning.
Let's face it, electricity is nothing to play around with. You want a professional taking care of it. Allen Bauer Electrical is your premier electrical contractor company. Whether it's industrial, commercial, or even high voltage services, we offer it at Allen Bauer Electrical. We specialize in all different types of electrical services while understanding all the mechanics of what is needed for any electrical service job. Reasonable, reliable, with true attention to detail to the customer is our specialty. Give Allen Bauer Electrical a call at 214-356-0197 to find out how we can be of service to you. Allen Bauer Electrical, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
When people call Stevenson's Heating and Air Conditioning, they are generally unhappy when their air conditioner is not working. But really, they're worried. Are they calling the right people? Well, at Stevenson's Heating and Air Conditioning, service promised is service delivered. People of Rowlett have depended on us for over 25 years, so go ahead. Contact Stevenson's Heating and Air Conditioning at 972-475-3227 or visit them on the web at stevensonshvac.com.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, with your coverage of the 2015-2016 Rowlett Eagles varsity football team as they are in Waco at Baylor University. And this is a game that is obvious, one of those historical games for this football team, as this school, as well as the Rowlett Eagles, have never been this far except for back in 2012. It was the longest that they went to. So if the Eagles get the victory here tonight, they will succeed their longest playoff run. And they quite possibly will end up over at Jerry's World over there at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium. So, that having been said, this is one of those important games. Forget the fact, you know, obviously this is a football team that wants to go and play for the state championship. That's why they go through this. But you look at some of the other names that are out there. Skyline is a team that when you looked at these brackets and you saw, you kind of figured they might be there. Rowlett Eagles were able to get this victory. And by the way, and we saw in this game after it was over, the players didn't expect this. I mean, we had the media all, there was only one that actually picked Rowlett to win this football game against Skyline. And they had the kids believing the same thing. And the Rowlett Eagles went ahead, they took care of business. And folks, I want to also just say, in that game where the play that happened, that turned the game, obviously Jalen Penn blocking the field goal was the big play. I mean, you heard it right here on the Couch Potato Sports Show just in this last segment. But I think it was more Dylan Watts. I look at that play. That Dylan Watts, he gets the ball and the handoff to throw to Logan Bonner, who was open initially. If he probably were able to throw a bullet, that would have been a complete pass. Unfortunately, it couldn't have been a bullet the way that he was running, the way he threw it. But Dylan Watts actually saved this game. I mean, it gave the Rowlett Eagles the opportunity to get there defensively instead of a pick six. And the game could possibly be over, depending on what would have happened on that drive. So I looked at Dylan Watts as the guy that, you know, you looked at the play, you put your hand to your head and went, oh my. But then you saw the hustle. After it was, this guy was on the wheels, man. And he got him out of bounds. And it gave the Rowlett Eagles defense come a chance to make that play. A chance to back them up, a chance to get the delay of game, to back up the long field goal, to get their minds out of it. They got in their own heads. And as you saw after that game, you saw the players, just they were so distraught. This was a football team that was expecting to win this game, without question. They were going into it thinking they were going to win it, and they got the dogfight that they... Rowlett Eagles ended up giving them. So in this game, the expectations, and I'm going to talk to Bill about the expectations of high school football teams and where they are in the realm of the playoffs, what their expectations are. I mean, you can look at the Allen Eagles And the expectation, let's be honest, that expectation is for them to be in the state championship every year. Skyline. They were expecting, that expectation was to be in this game on at Baylor instead of the Rowlett Eagles. There is no question in my mind. And if you look back up on the history of Rowlett, as far as how far they get, they usually lose that second game. I mean, we brought that game to you last year at the Cotton Bowl as Mesquite Horn took care of business. Robinson burning up our defense, unfortunately, at the quarterback position for Horn. But that has been the trend. Now, the Rowlett Eagles breaking this trend right now, and that's so huge for this game. Going into this game, riding on the high, knowing that they can make the plays when they have to make the plays. And let's be honest, if you watch this Rowlett Eagles football team, sometimes you question whether or not that play could be made if it had to be made in years past. And that's why I go back to the coaching staff of this football team. Not just Coach Steven, his whole staff. And when a player makes a mistake, I've seen it so many times on the sideline, it disgusts me. I don't mind seeing it on the professional level or even, for that matter, the college level. But I hate seeing coaches going off on players. And we have seen that way too much on the high school level. So the simple fact of the matter is how Coach Stevens coaches his football team and gives them the power to make the right decisions and to play well. Okay, they want to make sure that they improve on what they did. They want to know what they did wrong to where they can try to prevent it from happening again. And that's one thing that we're seeing from Rowlett and this coaching staff, without question. I think that is such a huge thing compared to looking at the sideline and seeing the coach going off on either a player or, for that matter, we've seen all too many times where coaches were out up on the football field losing their mind talking to the referee instead of in the cool, calm collective that you see Coach Doug Stevens. I don't think I've ever seen the guy, you know, really, really angry where the arms are flapping around. You just see him talking to the referees. And that is a coach that is leading by example, and that's the way he wants his kids to play. The game against Skyline was the first time I've seen three personal fouls in one game for the Rowlett Eagles. I've seen one here and there, but that was it was an overabundance, and I think the referees were a little bit flag happy in reality when I saw that. So I like what we've seen up to this point. The Rowlett Eagles getting into the third round of these playoffs. And actually, people are going to start talking about this football team. Now, the expectations for next year are going to be huge on whoever's going to slide in here and be the quarterback for this football team, whether it's Garrett Hermes or whether it's Fashad. They've got a lot of shoes to fill coming from one Logan Bonner. And then the rest of it, we got a lot of young guys on this team. Folks, we are stacked going into next year. And if we keep our coaching staff in place as well, that is going to actually build up on the positivity and the atmosphere that is already there for the Rowlett Eagles. I'm telling you, folks, there's something about this football team that makes them better, and it comes from coaching, and it comes from support. It comes from the boosters. Folks, if you're not involved with the boosters, you're crazy. Get in there, and you can help support this team. And that is a way that the Eagles can get what they need as far as football. You're the boosters. They help make sure that the players have everything they need, whether it's equipment, shoes, anything that they can need, they can provide for this football team. And you can be a part of that as far as the boosters. You can be part of fundraising. You can be a part of, you know, being involved, providing food, all kinds of things. So if you get up online and go to the Facebook page for the Rowlett Eagles Boosters football team, for the football team, the Boosters, you can find it, you can sign up, you get your money in early for next year, and solidify yourself as being a part of this football team.
you know, we're going to have some changes as well as far as who's going to be running, you know, certain positions and stuff like that. Be a part of it. Put your hand up. You know, I'll be the treasurer. I'll do this. Or whatever the case may be, that might be available. Make yourself available for these Rowlett Eagles football teams and be a part of the Boosters. And I cannot tell you anything more than If you're part of the Boosters, you're part of a family. And this football team is a family. I've never seen anything like this as far as the camaraderie of the players as well as the family of players. And, you know, the way they get along and everybody likes each other, I just find that so cool. So keep that up. But if you want to be a part of it, get a hold of the Rowlett Eagles Boosters for the Rowlett Eagles football team, and you should be able to do that. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We're going to hear from our sponsor again, Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty, and then we're going to bring him in, and we're going to bring in the Eagle Eye Bill Cerna. We're going to have a great conversation talking about what we saw last week out on the football field, what we think we're going to see on the football field this week as well, as your Rowlett Eagles make their way into the third round of the Texas State playoffs of 2015-2016. So, quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Rowlett Eagles Radio Network. With banks offering loans with a down payment as low as 5%, this may be the right time to get into the housing market. Whether you're buying or selling your home, see what Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty can do for you. Veronica Warwick, a Keller Williams agent. Give her a call at 469-939-9624. Veronica Warwick, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast. After a long day with kids or a long day at work, who wants to cook? Who wants to cook in this heat? But fast food isn't the answer. Neither are pizza joints. How about something healthy? Try Angel Creation Catering, specializing in hot, healthy, and delicious meals for a family. Whether it's one meal a week or two meals a week, take the pressure off of your family. Take the pressure off of you. So after the day has you worn out, give Angels Creation Catering a call at 972-897-2923. Call an angel for a taste of heaven. At Chang Lee's Taekwondo, learn the art of self-defense, discipline, respect, physical development, and mental focus. Become the best that you can be. At Chang Lee's Taekwondo, we offer an after-school program, fitness kickboxing, birthday parties, summer camp, and homeschool classes. Check out our one-year anniversary special. 2 weeks in a free uniform for $19.99. That's right, $19.99 gets you 2 weeks and the free uniform. Check out Chang Lee's at 469-506-4483 or visit them on the web at mychanglees.com. Come into El Centro Mexican Restaurant in downtown Rowlett for our comfortable small-town ambiance that is a great getaway from the typical Mexican dine-in restaurant that you might expect in the Dallas area. Did someone say specials? At El Centro Mexican Restaurants on Tuesday night, they have six dinners for $5.95. And don't forget about Fajita Night Wednesdays, where every order is a dollar off. That's at El Centro Mexican Restaurant in downtown Rowlett. 214-227-5096.
For all your Disney vacation needs, check out Ginger's Magical Travel, an independent travel specialist. Whether you're visiting Disneyland or visiting Disney World or going on a Disney cruise, give Ginger a call at 844-407-9668, extension 745, or contact her directly at 469-556-8931. Proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
Let Spirit Outfitters be your home for any of your specialty needs. Spirit Outfitters can do it all. Whether it's screen printing, custom apparel, spirit gifts, or embroidery, Spirit Outfitters has you covered. Need personalized apparel? We can do that. Want something just for you? We can do that also. Spirit Outfitters will let your imaginations run wild. Give them a call at 972-412-3440 or visit their showroom at 3538 Lakeview Parkway, Suite 101 in Rowlett. Or check them out on the web as well at thespiritoutfitters.com.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. And I got my right-hand man, the guy that keeps eye on everything, whether it's a play out on the football field, the number, keeping track of the time when we're coming back from commercial. It's Bill Cerna. How you doing, Bill?
Boy, you're giving me a lot more credit than I thought I'd get. How you doing, Sonny?
Jack of all trades. I'm doing great. Hey, great game last week as we were over at Memorial Stadium as your Raleigh Eagles got a victory, 24-21. Last play. Now, I want to go back to that game because there were a lot of things as I was putting together the highlights as we heard earlier here in the pregame show. I was putting these highlights together and I came to the conclusion that it should be easy to give the most valuable player of that game to Jalen Penn, but I'm going to give it to Dylan Watts. And the reason why I'm going to do it is he throws the interception by trying to throw the ball to Logan Bonner, but then he has to hustle back to make the play to prevent the pick six in order for Jalen Penn to even get in there to block that kick. So I think I decided, even though that was a great play at the end of the game, I think I got to give the MVP at least the play of the game to Dylan Watts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it was a play of two tails. It was a downer just on the execution of it, but then also it was a great play by Watts to make that. I think if I was going to give an MVP for the game last week, I think I'd give it to the whole defense.
Yeah.
Because you know they did give up a lot of yardage to Skyline, but they buckled down when they had to, and they really did a good job there in the second half on containing the Skyline offense.
Yeah, and the big play, obviously, and it's been like that, you know, thorn in the side, Bill. It's that the running game, and once they kick that running game and someone has a big game, this one here was a big game as well on the other side for the Raiders, and that's one thing that has been, you know, the Achilles heel of this defense in reality is the big plays on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, if there is one flaw that we've had for the year, it's been those big plays on the ground. And then once again, it made an effect last week, especially on that long, I think it was an 84-yard touchdown run. So
yep.
That's one thing that obviously they've got to focus on. We keep saying it week in and week out, but it's still something that keeps teams in ball games. And if we continue doing that, that's definitely going to put us back on our heels.
We're watching this game, and we even said it. We're seeing some plays that we have not seen all year long, and they actually went into the play archives because those plays that I didn't see. And it's nice to see, you know, them kind of, you know, play with the offense a little bit. You know, they take away from the interception on Dylan Bauer or Dylan Watts throwing to Logan Bonner, it's still nice to see other plays that were being made out on the football field by Logan Bonner.
Yeah, and they really did open up that playbook last week, and you had to with a defense like Skyline. I don't think we'll see another, you know, if we continue to move in this tournament, I don't think we'll see another defense like we did with Skyline. So he definitely had to make adjustments. And speaking of Coach Stevens, making adjustments against the team and showing them things that they hadn't done all year. And then that play right there was a play that we hadn't done all year. So, you know, he had to open up that playbook just to be able to get some momentum on this on that Skyline defense.
Yeah, so, you know, that having been said, they get a game, they play well in reality, you know, giving up those big plays, that's something that we're kind of used to seeing, but making the big play when they have to make the big play, and you mentioned it during the game, you got to have the guys be able to make the plays, the guys that you depend upon, and as I went back and I listened to this game, I've listened to it three times, Bill, and Jalen Penn was all over the field. Not only did he get the block to get the game and seal the deal for him, but he was making tackle after tackle. But one thing that we lost on the other side, on the defensive side of the ball, was Craven Jones. This was a big loss for this Raleigh Eagles football team as they are going into this game, you know, in the third round, you know, taking on a team that we don't see a lot over in Humboldt, you know, the Eagles out of Humboldt. This is a kind of game you kind of want that guy in that lineup making plays.
Well, and this is a team that they hit hard. They They come to play, and you need your strength out there. And yeah, absolutely, with Craven Jones being gone. But I tell you what, this is where guys will have to step up, and we'll see if they're going to be here ready to play. Back to Penn, you know, it was kind of a coming out party for him. You know, you called his name here and, you know, game after game, you know, a little here and there, but he really stepped up last week and really became a thorn to that Skyline offense. And same with Dylan Bauer. You know, we hadn't seen him make a bull rush like that all season long, and to bring it out against Skyline was huge. So,
yeah.
You know, with this team we're going to play this week, absolutely, they're a big team. They're a strong team. They're definitely going to have to buckle down against this offense.
Yes, and that's something, because I was looking at the stats, but, you know, one of the things, though, as far as what we're seeing from Rowlett, and you've seen it week in, week out, where they have shown up, and they've shown up and done what they need to do to get the victories at certain times, so they've been able to get those plays. But what I'm really seeing a lot is that points per game for the Rowlett Eagles are 44 points a game. That is huge, I think. When I look at the numbers, I mean, we can see what they give up. They give up some points. But Logan Bonner is able to get the ball to where it needs to go to, whether they're running the football or passing the football. 44 points, and you're looking close to 6 touchdowns a game. And if your offense gets you 6 touchdowns a game, Bill, I think you have to, you know, kind of think that you're going to win the football game.
Yeah, you should. But we've seen this year where the defense has struggled sometimes, and even in games they lost, they were still scoring 30 and 40 points. So this could be a game where you're going to see a lot of that too. You know, our lowest point in a game was actually last week against Skyline, 24 points. We actually had that in the third quarter, which that was the highest point. Points that Skyline had given up in a ball game all year. So, you know, we saw what it is to go up against a tough defense and be able to put points on the board, but we've been able to be able to get points on the board game in and game out. So, I don't worry about getting our scores. It's going to come down to the defense making sure that they're going to be ready to play and can get a few takeaways.
Yeah, right now defense giving up about 31 points a game, and that's, you know, that's a lot of points. But you also, like you said, you looked at the offense and you've seen what they can do offensively, and that will help them go into it. You know, passing, you know, yards per game, 489 yards a game, passing 288 yards on average. Now, folks, those are huge numbers. We're talking high school football. It's not like this is college where they go pass crazy. That's a big number for high school. But the biggest number in reality, Bill, is you look at the rushing game, 201 yards a game. They are coming out screaming at every chance that they get. And whether it is a play up on the ground, big time play by Morrow or not, that's the huge thing. And that's what I wanted to ask you about. Morrow went out early in this game. I'm trying to figure, and right now, as of the time that we are doing this interview, I'm still trying to get notice on whether or not Morrow's going to play. And that is, if we don't see Morrow in the game, it's nice to be able to lean on Ladarius Dickens. And then you got Lang, who showed up last week. It kind of reminds me, and I don't want to put him like on a level, but the mentality of the next man up, like the Green Bay Packers have. It's just the next guy up that's got to make the plays, and we've seen that with Rowlett.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Morrow has another year under his belt. So, you know, Lang's going to definitely still be in the, you know, the number two going into next year, but you know, having a strong number two that's going to be able to get some touches, and it's definitely going to make a difference. But you mentioned, you know, averaging 489 yards a game. That's a crazy stat. And most times when you see an average stat like that in high school football, you're going to see the opposite on the stats in relation to running and passing. You usually see the high running stats when you average that type of those type of yards per game. So to see that ours is passing, absolutely, but then be able to also get 200 yards of rushing per game, very balanced. And yes, you know, when you have those stars, but you know, you mentioned Morrow, not sure his status of Saturday. You know if it's Kobe, he's going to say, I'm ready to go. So, but to have them, I think one thing that I liked in the last week's game, when it came down to the crunch time, you know, they put the stars where they needed to be. They moved Dickens out from the wide receiver position and put him in the backfield.
Yep.
And that made a huge difference on that last drive.
And not only that, it's a change of pace. I mean, we see Kobe Morrow. He is the patient kind of runner. He'll find the holes when they open up. Ladarius Dickens sees the hole from where he's about ready to run, and he goes directly. So you get two different types of style of running the football when you got a Morrow compared to Ladarius Dickens as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You got two styles. You got a flashy, you know, trying to maneuver and find a hole where you have somebody that's going to be a upfield runner that's going to be able to plow into somebody and take a hit. Dickens, we've seen all year, it's hard to bring down. So, you know, I always anticipate positive yardage with Dickens because the first guy hitting him is not going to tackle him. I can't think of one time this year that he's been tackled on the first hit. He's always moving forward. Now, you know, with this team against Atticacita, they have a running back a lot like Dickens. He's a big boy. He's 6'3", 216 pounds, and he is an upfield runner. He's going to hit somebody. He's not going to juke and try to dance around it. He's going to move forward, and he's been very successful that way.
Yeah, and you're right. Atticacita is right in Humble, so we'll probably call Humble and Atticacita both because they're both Eagles. But looking at what they got, you're absolutely right. They got 12 rushing touchdowns that come from Patrick Taylor, 136 attempts, 972 yards. Not the many yards as Morrow has to this point. But at the same time, this guy's averaging 7.1 yards a carry. The huge number out of all that. Forget the fact that he gets it 136. Forget he has 972. When the guy gets a hold of the ball, he's going to get 7.1 yards a game. That is a hard thing to be able to stop at any time. And with the Rowlett Eagles, as far as their defense is concerned, they cannot allow that kind of rusher to continue with the 7.1s. Now, you have Jared Elmore had 16 tackles last week, you know, Bill, and he also had the, quarterback pressure as well. 16 tackles. I mean, those are huge numbers. I mean, Estrada was in there for 5. I mean, he was the next closest. Jared Elmore all over the football field, and that's what we're going to need. He's going to have to be the leader. He's going to have to be the field general to recognize where that ball is going to go. So I think Jared Elmore is definitely going to be the spy up on the running game when it comes to I'm going to just say Humble.
Well, and you mentioned Patrick Taylor from Atticacita. He's not a sweep guy. He's a upfield runner. He takes it between the tackles. So you're going to hear some collisions between Elmore and Taylor because he's a power runner Elmore's a power hitter. So there's going to be some fireworks that are going to explode there on the field between those two. So absolutely going to be a game to watch between those two. So you know that's where you're going to need a Jalen Penn to be covering the outsides to watch that screen because watching film on Atticacita in their second round game, they like to throw that side screen.
A lot like
what Rowlett does. They like to throw that side screen and let those playmakers make plays. Their offense is a lot like Rowlett in their passing game. The only difference is they don't go upfield the way we do. They tend to let their playmaker put the ball in their playmaker's hands and let them do all the work. So, that's going to be a tough challenge for those cornerbacks and also your defensive end. Elmore and Taylor are going to have some matchups there in the middle of the field. We're going to have to see what happens on the sides.
Now think about what's going on. Logan Bonner, 3,374 yards in total offense this year for the Rowlett Eagles. Big, big-time numbers. You look at Boyd on the other side, 3,095 yards. So there is a big difference between the quarterbacks on what they are actually getting per yard. And I think that is so huge when you look at this game as far as what you can expect. You were talking about the numbers. You were talking about how you're kind of seeing that almost the same thing. The difference is one game less loss for this football team. But you look at the numbers, Bill, and I know you got them in front of you. The scores of the game that the humble Eagles are carrying, they have not been in a lot of close football games. They're either blowing them out or they lost that one. But they're more of a blowout football team. So I think we'll have a good idea on what kind of football game this is going to be by halftime, because I think if the Rowlett Eagles keep this close, I don't know if they will be able to hold on to it, because this is a team that's used to blowing other football teams out.
Yeah, and you know, they're averaging 30 more points a game to their opponent during the regular season. They were averaging scoring 48-14 in the regular season. So you're absolutely right. So you see some of these numbers from these players. From, you know, you mentioned Patrick Taylor only has 972 yards going into this game, but there's a lot of games at halftime he was done after halftime.
Right.
You know, so he didn't, wasn't even getting full games. You have two receivers. You have Campbell and Fairman that both have 1,000 yards receiving yards. You know, a team's lucky to have one. Let alone having two.
Not only that, 30 touchdowns. Holy smoke.
Exactly. 30 touchdowns between the two of them. And I guarantee you, you know, with their leads that they had, these guys weren't getting the ball in the second half. They probably went to a running game, probably went to backups. So, you know, these guys probably haven't played very many fourth quarter games. Now, with that being said, the two playoff games they've had, they've taken big leads and had to hang on at the end. So, same thing. So, you know, you're absolutely right. I think if we can stay in it, I think we have the capability, because we've played that close game. We've had to hold in the close game. We've had to score to win the game, that we can be able to hold with them in the fourth quarter, where these guys might not be as conditioned because they're not playing full games.
Some information that I'm getting is more in the fact just to keep people aware. And it's nothing different from the booster meeting that went on for the Rowlett Eagles on Monday. Coach Stevenson agreed to referees that are out of Houston. So just to let people know, on the high school level, both coaches have to agree to the officials that are there. As far as that is concerned, that right there, you know, gives you an idea what's coming out. No officials from down here. So here's another thing as far as the Rowlett Eagles are concerned. As far as Coach Stevens believes that there are some good play coming from this defense, even though those plays are being, you know, given up. Those are huge. So the other stuff really has a lot of other intangibles coming into this game. You know, officials, I don't think Coach Stevens is worried about. And we talked about this coaching staff is amazing. They don't let little things like, oh, who's going to officiate be the difference. They're worried about the guys that are out on the football field.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're getting into the quarterfinals of the playoffs. You know, 16 teams left here in the division, 6A Division I tournament. You're going to see the better officials. You're going to see the guys that are experienced and have playoff experience officiating. So, I don't think that's going to become a factor. I think these teams are going to be ready to play. And, you're going to see some good talent, not only on the ball, but also officiating the game. So, it's so easy to be able to scrutinize and wonder, but I feel confident that the UIL has a good staff in place, and they put the officials in the games that are qualified to be playing in such a big game.
Yeah, so the big games that are coming up, this is the last time the Rowlett Eagles got this far into the playoffs was 2012, the year before we started covering this football team, although I knew about where they were. This is an opportunity to get past the furthest amount where they have had in their school history. So this is an opportunity. Number one, Logan Bonner, final year, wanting to make the best that he can possibly do before he moves on to Arkansas State. There's a lot of seniors on this team that stepped up from last year who made plays as sophomores. that's what I wanted to talk to you about now, Bill. You look at the – we've been getting some great plays from underclassmen out on the football field this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's such a positive future going on with it. Obviously, you got to fill a big shoes like Logan Bonner. But, you know, you have your running back coming back. You have your leading receiver coming back. And I think you're going to have a lot of strength on that defensive line coming back. You know, I think the biggest loss is going to be Elmore. But obviously there's other ones on there that are going to be a big loss. But I think Elmore's play all year is going to be one that's going to have to definitely be filled. But we've seen a lot of play from underclassmen. We've had a couple sophomores that have played a lot this year. So
yeah.
I think there's a great future. I think there's even in the JV and freshman, there's a great talent coming up. So I don't think it's going to be one of those where we're not going to rebuild. Hopefully we'll just be able to reload.
Yeah, reloading is going to be the most important thing and how they move up. So that's going to be huge. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of this game play. Third round of the playoffs, third time's the charm. There's always great stories here in this game. And, you know, Eagles versus Eagles, kind of even like the same, you know, logo, except behind something else different. I mean, there's, you know, the differences out on the football field, or the similarities of the football field. This one's going to be good, and I don't know if you know what the situation is, and maybe you do because you have better sources on trying to figure out where the next game could be. If the Rowlett Eagles get the victory, do we know where they're going to be headed next time? Will Jerry World finally be blessed to have the hardest working man in sports radio as well as the Eagle Eye in attendance over at Jerry World?
You know what? There's a good chance because I think next round could be up against somebody from that area. And if that's the case, if we get past this round, I might have to go sleep at AT&T Stadium so I can beg and tell them that I need to be there in that box. So I think it'd be great to do. You know, obviously we want to get by this game, but I think if we do that, it's kind of like going to the Cotton Bowl last year. It was such a aura about it to go there and just say that you got the call from the Cotton Bowl. You know, at 18th Stadium is one of the, you know, premier stadiums in the world. So to be able to call there from there will be great.
My complete understanding is that Morrow is going to play in this game. I just got that kind of a little update, so he's looking pretty good, and he's 100% ready to go. And like you said, you know, he's going to tell you he's ready to rock and roll, but he had to go through, you know, the medical staff. And that's one thing also, we don't get an opportunity to talk a little bit about the medical staff. The medical staff puts a stop on anything that could possibly be as harmful to these kids, regardless of where they are, their stature, where they're going to college. If the medical staff stops you, you know that there's something that's there. Medical staff clearing Morrow for 100% and ready to be active in this game. So this one is going to be a big one here, Bill.
Yeah, and you know what? In my opinion, I'm sure Morrow wanted to come back into the game last week with that being such a big game. So, and you had a staff there, and that's what they're there for. You know, they're there for the welfare of the kids, and not on who's going to score the next touchdown. You know, obviously they're Rowlett size, and they want to see Rowlett win, but they're there for the safety and the health of these kids. And you know, kudos to them. They've done a great job all year, as we've seen limited long-term injuries, players coming, you know, players have been coming back healthy and ready to go and cleared. And they've done a great job to really tend to these kids and take care of them and make sure that, there's no safety risk for putting them back out on the field. So they, you know, medical staffs never get the kudos that they get, but definitely have really helped the Eagles this year.
Yeah, and also we've seen medical staffs from other teams say, forget it, we're giving to the kid. And we saw that a couple of times this year in the one game and then another game where the medical staff from the other side is tending to our Rowlett Eagles. I just love that. And that's one of the things about high school sports. You know, we get lost in what high school sports is, and especially high school football and the popularity that sometimes we miss out up on. What's the most important thing? And that is player health, and they have done a very, very good job at that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you see it, you're absolutely right. You see it from a lot of teams where they help each other. You know, if an injury happens on their sideline from an opposing player, they're there to take care of them. Like I said, you know, they're there for the kids. You know, we don't ever want to see a serious injury, and they do everything to make sure and avoid that happening.
Yeah, and last week the Rowlett Eagles took on a football team where they had three Division I players that were going, you know, heading up to Texas Tech or Texas A&M. I forget which one they're going to, but you know, the Rowlett Eagles were at, you know, definitely the underdog. We were all reading about who everybody was picked. There was only one so-called quote-unquote expert that picked the Rowlett Eagles to get the victory. So that was an upset, and you can see even by the players' reaction of that loss that that was not definitely what they expected in that game either. So this is really one of those, you know, the expectations of certain teams like a Skyline, like an Allen, like a, you know, some of these other teams that are in the, you know, final portions of this tournament, you know, for the state playoffs. The expectations are riding very high up on these football teams.
You're absolutely right. We had mentioned before there's 16 teams left, and it doesn't get any easier. I mean, it gets tougher and tougher as we go. And, you know, we're two games away from playing Allen, and I guarantee you that one will be at AT&T. And, you know, they're on, right now they're on a 57-game winning streak. You know, so all 16 teams are good enough to be here. There's other teams that could have been here. But, you know, I think it's playing out great. And for us, our Rowlett Eagles, to be part of that 16 teams, I think they're well-deserved. I think, matter of fact, Dallas News, when the playoffs started, said, who is the dark horse? And they were the first one to say Rowlett is. So, yeah. And they even made that prediction with having gone through in a tough region like we did. You know, at Saxe came in second place in our district, and they had a lot favorable ride to take. And matter of fact, they even predicted them to go a long way because of that. So for them to even make us a dark horse coming out of the region we did is gives a lot of credit to Coach Stevens and his team.
Well, interesting situation also, just to let you know, for folks that don't know, we got two teams from the Garland ISD still in this tournament. Rockwall takes on Spring at 7:30 at Waco ISD Stadium, just down the street from where the Rowlett Eagles are playing. I wish I had the time to roll down there and catch that, because wouldn't it be, I don't know how the tournament is set up or how it, I would love to run back into the Yellow Jackets and get an opportunity to beat that football team.
I don't know why. I was thinking that they played on Friday night.
The 27th. So that's, you know.
That's today.
Oh, well, then they're playing tonight. So, shoot, maybe we should have ran down there early and grabbed that. Dang. I'm a day late and dollar short on everything. So there you go. So,
well, if you look at it, the Rowlett for the last few years has been the team to make the furthest in the tournament. And once again, yeah, you know, Garland ISD is being represented by Rowlett tonight. So you know, they're doing a great job, and I think people are seeing it, and I think people are wanting to be part of it.
Yeah, and all you got to do is look at the attendance and everything. I mean, we traveled well, even over to Mesquite. They had two levels of seating there, and we had that between the 30s very well full, and then between the 40s up on that upper level that was awful full of Rowlett Eagle fans as well. I love the way they travel, and of course, we're going to have a lot of people heading on down to McLean Stadium. We're in Baylor. You missed out last year. You're going to get to see how pretty the stadium is. I mean, my pictures only could do so much, which weren't great, but wait until you get to this place. What a great place to host something like that. Not only that, they got some of the best turf, and there's going to be games that are going to be played, I think a game before hours and after hours, I think. It's either one or the other. So there's going to be a couple of games going down at McLean Stadium, so it should be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. You know, last year we got the Cotton Bowl. This year we got McLean Stadium here in Waco. And the stadium's only 2 years old, so I'm really looking forward to playing there. And I'm sure, you know, I think one good thing with that Rowlett has on their side is they play in that stadium. They know that stadium.
Yep.
Where Attica Cita might not play in such a big stadium. So having been able to play in there and get a feeling for it, especially with our starters, is going to be huge for Rowlett.
Yeah, Drew Gliss right there. He plays that right there in Baylor, and they're fighting their battle to try to make it into the top four. I don't know if that will happen, but Drew Gliss, the huge kicker of our football team last year, making some noise down there in Baylor in the kicking game. And this guy, he actually plays. I'm glad that he's been in these games, and it's always nice to be able to see where players are headed that we've been able to call. You know, in basketball, I'm seeing a lot of my guys moving up and playing at Oklahoma State as Jeffrey Carroll's making his way. Austin Luke in basketball, he's a guard playing for the Belmont Bruins. Over in the University of Texas, Arlington, Nathan Hawkins, you know, these are guys that are making some noise, and we're going to hear from them. So it's always nice to be seeing.
And you're making claim of three different teams right there that have been in the NCAA tournament in the last 3 years. So, you know, they're playing programs that are successful programs.
Yep, and then, you know, of course, you have Charles Minnehoo down there in Texas making some noise. There's a lot of players everywhere. It's kind of hard to keep track of them. Next year, we're going to cover each one of them as far as football is concerned. When we go into halftime, we're going to talk about where Charles Minnehoo is, what he's doing, and other players, and keeping track of Logan Bonner and things like that. We're going to be doing that during our halftime next year. This is going to be a kick. This is going to be a great game here tonight, Bill, and I'm glad you're at least being able to part of it and having some fun over at McLean Stadium.
You know what, I'm excited about it, and you know, now that I've been doing this, I got 2 years under my belt, I'm getting more comfortable every game. I don't want the season to end tonight. I want to make sure, and let's play again next week too.
Definitely. So make sure that, keep your fingers crossed, everybody. Keep your eyes and ears open. Get on over to www.thecouchpotato.wix.com or listen to us live at 347-215-7497. Those are the ways that if you can't make it there, you gotta listen. Get online, pick up that phone. If you're out shopping, have it in your ears. Charge up your phone. That's my biggest story here. So that's going to do it for us tonight here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame show being brought to you by Veronica Warwick of Warwick Realty. We appreciate her sponsorship as we went through this first year in the football. And here's to keeping it going for one more week, Bill.
I'm excited. Yeah, absolutely. Tell your neighbors. Tell everybody. Let's get behind the Raleigh Eagles, and hopefully that'll push them to a victory and play next week.
Definitely.
In the quarterfinals.
In the quarterfinals, that'd be good. We'll have three down, only three to go. That's going to do it for us here. Everybody have a good evening. Take care. Bye-bye.